I'm Javonna Asad with the COVID Oral History Project at Wells College, and today's date is April 14th, 2022. I'm in Weld with Ty McBride. This is an unrehearsed, recorded interview, so thank you for joining us today.
Of course, no problem. Glad to be here.
So, I'd like to begin by getting to know more about your background, so if you could just start with telling us your name, your full name, date of birth, and where you were born.
Just check up. My name is Ty James McBride. My date of birth is October 7th, 1998, and I was born in Orange Park, Florida.
Okay, and where did you live growing up?
I was raised in Orange Park, Florida. You know, I usually just say Jacksonville, Florida for people, majority because it's a big area, so people know that's one of the bigger cities in Florida, so I just say Jacksonville, and yeah, I was raised there for a while.
Okay, what was it like there?
You know, I'm going to say this word, diverse. The schools that I went to were very diverse, very open. Like, I mean, I would go anywhere, ride my bike anywhere, go places, go to the gym. You know, it's no, you know, my mother never had the fear of letting me go out to hang out. She let me go out. I'm always around good people, safe people, never had any problem with neighborhoods or, you know, gang violence or anything. Very good. You know, great childhood. I was blessed to have a great childhood.
Good. So, how is it similar or different from Aurora?
I mean, well, Aurora's in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's isolated, which is not a bad thing. You know, I'm actually grateful for my college being isolated, so there's not a lot of distractions where I can just focus on, you know, basketball and get better at my craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, schoolwork as well. But the, you know, like I said, the main difference is that, you know, back when I was in high school and stuff, I had, it's not even, I would say distractions, because even with all those things, like, you know, movies, malls, other activities to do, I really never went to it. I just stayed in the gym, really stayed home, played video games, you know, like I said, I'm living the same life as I was in the city. You know, I'm just doing what I need to do to better myself, better my life, and, you know, go have fun here and there, but not a lot, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the way it's set up, like, you can really focus on what you want to do because of how secluded we are.
Yeah.
Everything
else. Yeah, like you said, it's an advantage. Like, I don't look at it as a downfall. It's an advantage. It's an advantage for me. It's like, it's like keeping me in the, I wouldn't say keeping me in the shadows, but, like, you know, it's just like you just said, it just gives me a lot of time to put into what I would truly love to do and, you know, get better at what I want to
do. Give you a tunnel vision.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, who do you consider to be your family?
I mean, one is my mom, and I wouldn't say just because she's my mom. I think that, I think there goes a lot to be with family. You know, blood doesn't make family. Like, yes, that's your natural family. You're born into that family, but family is our people that, you know, that truly love you unconditionally. And, you know, that's the, when I say unconditionally, you know, that know you, you know, accept you for who you are, and even though, like, you're not perfect, and they know that, they love you through your flaws instead of trying to change you and point stuff out. Like, clearly, you know, my mom, like, if I have a bad habit or something, she would point it out to me.
Yeah.
But she won't, like, hang it over my head. You know, she would help me work through that habit or help me get better at that habit than just say, like, you know, you suck at this, like, da-da-da-da, you know. So I was saying, you know, I don't really have a lot of, you know, friends or family. Because you know, a lot of people don't truly love you how they say, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're not meant to be friends with everybody, just respect and love each other. But yeah, let's just say family is people that really love you for unconditionally, and of course, no one's perfect, but they accept your flaws and help you to grow to become a better person.
Yeah.
You know, like, they know that you're not perfect, but they push you to become a better version of yourself without judging you.
Right. And, like, can you tell me about your family?
It was just my mom. Mom and I, really, like, I have a sister that I'm, like, it's my mom and my sister and I. As I grow older, and because there was a big age gap between my sister and I. You know, my sister was 13 when I was born. So, you know, she was always older. So, like, you know, the things she was into, I wasn't. You know, we both played basketball. I still am, and, you know, she's not right now. She's, you know, doing a great job in her field, but, you know, that's the only thing that we could really relate,
yeah.
And that we had the same mom. But, you know, besides that, now that I'm becoming older, we're truly learning each other and, like, what she likes to do, who she is, and who I am, and, you know, so, yeah, that's really it. So, getting to know my sister better than just quote-unquote sister, that title is really, yeah, getting to know her as a person. And like I said, it was really my mom and I, because my sister left when I was, she left the house when I was like 5, 6, you know, because she joined the military, she graduated high school, so she left out the house. So majority of my life, it was just my mom and I. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love my mom very much, and, you know, she's like a One thing she's always said, she's like, I'm your parent, I'm not your friend, and I respect that, I love that. But as I grow older, she becomes more my friend, and I would say that she is my best friend, but I respect her, and I still, yeah, realize that she has the authority, and that I still have to be obedient to her. But she's just, she's always been there for me through everything, and she just loved me through it all. You know, she gave me whoopings, don't get me wrong, you know. You know, she corrected
discipline,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, discipline. She corrected me and, you know, disciplined me, spanked me and stuff, but it was all out of love to make, mm-hmm, me a better, you know, better young man, which, you know, it definitely has worked in my favor later on in life, you know, looking back at him. So I'm thankful for that. So, yeah, you know, majority of my life has been my mom and I, which she's a great, amazing woman, strong, independent woman, and I'm blessed to have her in my life.
So you say you were especially close with her, right?
Yeah, I still am. Yeah, we talk, you know, basically like every other day, or like they're the most of, yeah, I would say like we talk like every other day, or, mm-hmm, maybe on the third, like it we're always on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I talked to her last night, so.
So what were you like as a child?
I mean, honestly, I was the same way as I am now, you know, but the difference is that, you know, back then I would think there was something wrong with me at times due to the fact like I was more loving than most people, you know, like I would like be kind to everybody, I'd be giving to everybody,
mm-hmm,
you know, I didn't really like, I never viewed anybody in a negative way at a young age. And then at a certain age group, you know, you hear people start to gossip, make fun of people, judging people.
Yeah.
So then at like a certain, you know, like middle school age, I started getting kind of like insecure because, not like, yeah, I did, because like, you know, people started to, when I say change, like they started to base people off of how they looked and what they had, mm-hmm, and stuff like that, where I was like, man, who are you as a person? Like I've always been like that. But, you know, as a young kid, you know, I started, you know, getting insecure about that. So I started to care about, like, my looks, clothing, you know, stuff, the non-important things. You know, of course, you need to take care of yourself and upkeep yourself. But, you know, like, at the end of the day, you should love a person for who they are and not how they, you know, look.
It's not about materialistic things.
Exactly. So. You know, so as a kid, I was always like that. And then I went through a phase of, like, trying to, you know, in a sense, like, I went through a phase of just, like, trying to, I wouldn't even say show off, just trying to fit in. You know, I never judged people. I was always nice to people. I was never one of the, like, that never changed in me. Mm-hmm. But just the fact of, like, trying to look good for others, trying to impress others and not do things for myself. And then, you know, eventually I grew out of that. Like, my junior and senior year, I was just like, man, this is, I don't like that. Like, I like clothes. I like fashion. I like looking good and stuff. But I was like, I'm not going to. Keeping up with the Joneses just, yeah, to impress people, or, you know, I just started, you know, like I said, I've just always been the same. I just focused on the person, like, loving everybody. And that never changed me. And it's just growing more into that now, you know, as I'm a believer of Christ, and he's my, you know, that's my, you know, my Savior, my Lord and Savior, and who I trust in everything. And I just want to be more like him and love like him and spread his love.
I respect that. I love that.
Yep.
So, like, could you share a special memory if you remember about yourself as a child?
Man, I've had a few, and it's just like during the moment, like, I would, they were terrible, but like looking back, they're hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I remember this one time with my, so I have this, like I said, we're back with family. Like, this is my little brother, not blood, but like my little brother. He is my little brother, and his name's Joaquin. Mm-hmm. And we had, well, I had an electric motorcycle, and he had a gas one. And one day he was like following me behind, and he wasn't paying attention, and I hit the brakes, and he rammed into me, and he flipped over, and he crashed, and he was crying, and you know, stuff like that. That was pretty funny, you know. Yeah. It was just funny, you know. He was good, but it was funny. I mean, do you want more than one, or?
That was fine.
Yeah,
because
we'd
probably be here all day talking about memories.
Yeah, we could. I would just pop
in.
Yeah.
So we're gonna jump ahead in time to like where you started to think about college.
Yeah.
So when did you first start thinking about going to college?
I mean, I kind of always was a thought when I was younger. You know, with basketball, I wanted to pursue a career in basketball, which, you know, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I mean, after high school is college, and then, you know, professional. So like, you know, just by the time I was in junior high, basically, I was like, I'm going to college to play ball. And yeah, that's where I started from there.
Okay, and what expectations did you have for what college would be like?
I guess, like, you know, if we're going to speak about expectations, would be like the, what colleges would be like is how movies portray them. You know, party every day and stuff. That's not what I'm into, but like, that's what, you know, the expectation of what college is about, what course, like education is the main thing. But you know how, you know, that in this age that we're in, people want to, you know, have fun, party and stuff. But like I said, that was never me, and I knew that. But yeah, that was just like my expect, that was the, I wouldn't say worldly expectation, but that's how people portrayed it on movies, and how like everybody, like even when I was younger, people would be like, oh, the parties in college, and I'd be like, man, that doesn't really concern me. I don't care about that. You know, I'm going to go to college to focus and, you know, get better. Like, I'm here for, I have dreams and goals. So, yeah. You know, just like, I'm going to college to get better. Of course, get an education while I'm here. I mean, like I said, I'm, you know, focused on basketball a lot, but while I'm here, get a free education and, you know, learn more about the business side of stuff, because I love business and meeting new people. So yeah.
When did you decide to come to Wells?
Yeah, I didn't decide. actually, I wanted to stay in Florida, you know, because when I came to Wells, it was nothing again. I guess when I came to Wells, I was judging it off the people and not what it offered, you know, because like I said, I came here to focus, and, you know, when I came to my visit, you know, it wasn't a good visit, in a sense, like, you know, everybody's different, mm-hmm. and, you know, of course, I wouldn't even lie, like, majority of the kids I do visit and stuff, they want to see how parties are handled and stuff like that, any college, you know, but when I came here, I was about business, and I wanted to see, like, how people took, you know, basketball seriously, how they took their career serious, and I mean career, yeah, took their life serious, and I didn't see that anybody really took their life serious here, and that kind of, like, was a turnoff for me, so at first I didn't choose Wells, but, you know, luckily I had a family member, you know, talk to me, where I had another, you know, brother here. I'm talking about family, like, he's not my blood, but mm-hmm. he was up here already. His name's Devontae, and, you know, his dad, you know, called me one day, and he was like, Ty, get over here, and, you know, he did convince me, mm-hmm. but we all have a choice, and I was like, I believed, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna go up there. He's like, Ty, you need to go up there. That's where you're meant to be. Play there. You know, you'll do good. And I was like, I took his word for it, because I knew he loved me and he just wanted the best for me. So I tried it out, and, you know, I fell in love with it ever since I came to the campus. And my relationship, another thing is, like, my relationship with God just grew expandedly. And that's the, you know, the most important thing that I've cherished the time being here.
What was the experience you were hoping to have at Wells?
Honestly, I didn't even know what to expect, truthfully. You know, there was no expectation. I would say that I put an expectation of myself was to make the best of it.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing like, you know, it goes with anything in life. You know, there's only so much someone can give you, you know, and you know, there's so only so much school can provide. There we go. That's the word. Like, there's so much that someone can provide for you. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's about what you do with what is provided with you. So I took that as, let me get to the campus. Let me see what is there for me. And then let me make the best of it. Instead of, yeah, I mean, instead of like saying, oh, what can they offer me? Like, what can I make the best of it?
Yeah.
The opportunity.
Like being grateful and just like said, dealing with what you have.
Yeah.
And not complaining about it.
No, you don't really need much. A lot of people think they need much, but you really don't. You know, you really don't.
Need the necessities. So what did you plan to study when you started college?
Oh, business. Business. That was given. I knew my house. Ever since I was a young man, I would say like a businessman. I would always carry myself as like a businessman. Mm-hmm. My mom would be like, you're a businessman. I was like, I'm about my business. So, you know, I do plan on, you know, of course, I wouldn't say of course everybody plans on owning a business, but ever since I was little, I knew I wanted to have a business of my own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said that Wells has a great business major. And, you know, so I just went straight into my major classes, and I loved all of them. I loved all my professors, too. It's just great, yeah.
So I know you said business, but can you just state your current major and year?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my bad. Oh, you need it? Okay.
State it.
Okay, yeah, so say that one more time.
State your current major and
year. Oh, yeah, my major is business. You know, there's, because Wells College just offers a business major. It's not like business. And then my minor is sports management. Mm-hmm. And then my graduation year is 2023.
Okay.
Yeah.
You kind of explained why you decided on this major, you know, growing up, always handling yourself right. In a business type of manner.
Right.
What do you plan to do after college?
You know, of course, pursuing my dreams, my goals, you know, doing the what my heart desires, and I believe what the Lord wants me to do. You know, seek His guidance, seek His way. And what I love to do, and you know, just stick with what I've been dreaming with since I was little. You know, still have the same dream. Just see where to take the next step when I'm done here.
Okay, so we're gonna turn to the pandemic now.
Let's do it.
When did you hear about COVID-19 for the first time?
That's a hard question because I mean I heard of it, but I didn't really consider it. Mm-hmm. So I think like the first time I heard about it was around when Kobe died. So I think like, was that January?
Yeah,
in January 2019. So, or 2020, beginning of 2020?
I think it was beginning of 2020.
20. Yeah, because it was after the basketball season.
I'm surprised you said that simply because
right before.
It was the COVID pandemic was in like newspaper with Kobe.
But Kobe.
Like, nobody even really paid attention. So
exactly.
I'm surprised you even heard about it around that time.
Exactly. You know, I think it's like, it was a little thing because my professor talked about it, but like it was something not that major. You know, Kobe's death was bigger than that, you know, to the world than COVID at the moment. But it wasn't until, I didn't realize it was big until spring break.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, the school said they gave us an extra week of spring break, and I still didn't think it was that big. And then that's when they like decided to shut down the school. Not shut it down, but, you know, go virtually.
Yeah.
And I still didn't realize it was that big. You know, I still, personally, not dismissing anybody. You know, I didn't realize it was that big anymore. Yeah.
But, like, what did you think about COVID around the time?
I just thought it was like of course, a strand of the virus. Mm-hmm. But it's just like any other flu. You know, it's going to affect people. I'm not saying, you know, people did lose their lives of it. I'm not saying that's, I'm dismissing that. But that goes with, you know, every sickness, you know, and just, I felt personally that we didn't have to go to the level that we did, but we did. And, you know, I'm just moving forward now.
What were people around you saying at that time?
I think there was a lot of when I say mixed emotions about it, I mean, like, some people were petrified of it, and then some people weren't.
Yeah.
And then there were some people that didn't know how to feel about it. So there was, like, a lot of, you know, like, opinions about it around me. but I didn't let me, it didn't affect me really. I just was like, you know, I said, I live for a God that's bigger than this. And if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. So yeah. I just live my life. Yeah.
How do you feel about these initial conversations that were happening regarding COVID?
I think a lot of people gave it more power than it needed to be. You know, I feel like they allowed COVID to control their lives and give them a fear of losing their life or getting sick, where, you know, people get sick. I mean, and they, like I said, COVID's real. I'm not saying it's not, you know, I'm not saying, like, if you don't feel good, stay home. But I believe that allowed fear to creep into people and cause them to change how they interact with people, how they carry themselves, being like walking around in fear instead of, you know, confidence. And yeah.
When did you know that COVID was turning into something serious?
I'd say once when they only allowed like essential workers to work.
Yeah.
You know, certain businesses to keep working, but not all. So, you know, I could, in that aspect, I knew it was serious, but as I said in my first one, I didn't think it was that big to do that in the first place. But that's when I realized, you know, like, oh, so we're going to this level and we'll get through.
How did you feel?
I just told you, I felt like we were doing too much. You know, I felt like we didn't have to do that. But, you know, that was what the government and, you know, the president at the time believed it was best for the people. And, you know, you got to respect them because they're our leaders. So, you know, went along with it. But, you know, still had my personal beliefs and still went out and lived the best life I could, going outside where I could. You know, you know, I'm not saying like there's people like saying go inside to me, but, you know, I followed the rules when I went out of places, wore a mask if it was mandatory. I mean, I still tried to stay outside, you know, get fresh air, live life.
Today, while you're talking, you already like touched some of the conversation. So, like, they asked, like, were you a student at Wells when the pandemic began?
Yes.
And what did you tell me about what you thought when spring break was extended? Like, oh, okay, like,
it's lit.
Yeah.
I was happy about it. You know, an extra week of, you know, school. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice. Like, I'm not going to complain about it, you know? So that was nice.
What did you think when your classes went online?
Yeah, oh, man, I thought, I was like, oh, man. You know, the initial thoughts, like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to be home with my loved ones and be at school, you know? So that was my initial thought. But then I realized, like, this is terrible because, you know, I'm not focused. I'm not in the environment of school, so I can't give my, I can't give it, like,
not as productive.
It's not as productive, and you can't give it the full attention you really could if you're in the classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when I was on campus and they had, like, online classes, like, it still was, like, I'm in my room. Like, I'm not, the teachers aren't going to get my full attention when, you know, so having, being in a classroom and an environment to learn is way more productive. It's easier to focus than being back at home or in your room at the dorm, at the school.
Right, because a lot of students were in class, camera off, muted, but they're sleeping. They're not even participating in the class. So definitely made it easier.
I did that. I didn't sleep. I was playing the game or something like that. You know, I wasn't paying attention.
So now lockdown. Where were you when lockdown started?
I was in Florida. So it was much better than, you know, New York and all the other places. You know, they were still open in certain places. Wasn't as bad. So, yeah, I was in Florida.
Who did you spend lockdown with?
At the time, my past girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we had a place, so spent time with her while we're on lockdown. Yeah.
Okay, can you tell me what your daily life and routine was like during this time?
That's a good, man. I really don't remember, like, because everything was like shut down, so I didn't really have a routine. You know, I would try to get into a gym if a gym was open. But basically at the time when everything was shut down was, I think I, like, we would just hang out all day. My past girlfriend, we'd not even all day, we would hang out, maybe go with her family to her family's house, hang there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Even me, I don't remember
Elijah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember that. You know, it's just in the past. Like,
it was like that moment of our lives just shut down. And then now we're back going day to day, so.
I don't really remember, you know. I tried, like, yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, that's fine. How did your life change during lockdown? No, actually, I asked that question. Pause. What challenges did you and others around you face?
I think it was more of, like, my best friend, like, this is my best friend named John, my brother, you know, my family. I think the biggest challenge that was for me and him and probably other, like, and everybody else that was, like, that work hard and work towards your dreams is, like, we didn't have the resources. Like, we could go run, we could go play on the outside court, go work on our game on the outside court, but we couldn't, you know. That it just, everything was closed, so we couldn't work out. Like, we could, like, we could do, like, push-ups and stuff, but at that time we weren't that disciplined and we weren't thinking of that, so it was just hard to get into somewhere. And but if we did, like, he would tell me, if I did, I would tell him, and you know, we'd do the best and hang out with each other. And that was another thing, hang out with him.
Besides that, how did you overcome these challenges?
I would say in my faith in Christ, you know, just that's what really, you know, got me through. Having great mentors, you know, I have a mentor named Tom Clegg, and I talk to him through stuff, through it. You know, he's helps me with my faith as well. You know, we talked about, like, he's kept me on track, because there's a point where I wasn't working out, and he's like, man, you have these dreams, but you're not working. You got to do something. He's like, I know that the gyms are closed and stuff, but you got to do something. I was like, you're right. So, like, eventually I started going on runs, doing what I could do, going to outside courts here and there, and making the best of what I could do. So that was what I did to get through it, you know, grew my faith in God, worked out when I could, went on runs, you know, do the things I could do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were there any unexpected benefits that emerged for you during lockdown?
Yeah. I would say, you know, family time, you know, relationship grew. My relationship with God, like, my faith, I was able to spend more time in the Word and prayer and stuff like that. And, you know, see that, you know, it's just, he's the truth and he's a promise keeper, you know, that we can rely on him. And that, like, my life, you know, I looked at, like, through this all, I had no fear of it, and I was able to live my life in freedom of, like, believe, because of my faith in God. Like, he's bigger than all this. Like, you know, people say, oh, if there was a God, why would he allow this? Like, you know, there's a reason behind. I can't tell you that. I'm not God. You know, I'm not God. I can't tell, but, like, me believing it, me trusting in him, that, you know, if I'm meant to catch COVID and it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Yeah. But I'm not going to put my life on pause, and that my God is bigger than this. And if, you know, I can get through this, I can get through this, like, with him, you know? So I just lived my life, and it grew my faith. So I'm like, hey, my God's bigger than this. Like, I'm not going to fear it.
Trusting
him. Yeah. Just building trust. And then I did, and I built trust through it.
Yeah. I agree with that. Moving towards being a college student,
yeah.
In what ways did the pandemic impact you as a college student?
I felt the pandemic affected me by as a college student. I can't really put anything on it. It would just be an excuse. But, you know, just going back to, like, being in a classroom setting is way more easier, more productive for a student than being at home. So I'm not going to blame the school or, you know, the pandemic. It's just, it was harder for me to visualize or focus in the fact of focusing in class when class went. Like, I still did my homework. Still did that, but, like, just looking at a screen, and it was not easy, you know, sitting there looking at a screen, listening to a professor over the, you know, television, when, you know, there's other things around me, or I'm not in a setting to observe and focus, you know.
So what challenges did you face, like, being a college student with COVID going on? Did it make you think, like, I'm not able to finish fast enough, or like...
No, I was perfectly fine. Like I said, I had that, you know, as it says in the word, you know, the peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, Lord gave me a peace that everything is going to be good. Like, you're going to get through, you're going to thrive, you're going to be straight, you know, more than straight. I'm more of a conqueror. So through it all, I didn't, you know, there's like, I'm not saying it was sunshine and rainbows, you know, but, you know, through it all, I did have a peace. I had a joy, and I didn't let that, you know, disturb me. You know, there's frustrating days, but it was nothing too hard to overcome. We're more than conquerors through him.
Did you have any unexpected benefits or opportunities emerge as a result of the pandemic?
That's a good question. It's been a while. Any benefits from it? I can't think of any, but I'm not saying there wasn't. You know, yeah. I'm not saying there was no disadvantage. I wouldn't say there's... I just can't think of any right now. You know, my life's been, you know, great through it all.
Yeah.
You know, through the pandemic and going past it and before. So I... it just came along and just there's... Last year's been great.
For me, the benefit is still just being alive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm just blessed in general. Like,
right.
You know?
So can you compare what Wells was like prior to COVID to what Wells was like during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's not just at Wells. It's just the whole world where, like, people are just afraid to be around with each other. I wouldn't say that anymore. People are starting to get around each other more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's still some people that fear, you know, having masks down, shaking hands and stuff like that, where it's just, I think it's more of like a mental thing because, you know, when I say it's a mental thing, I think people are like that when they're around people they don't know, but if they're around their friends, they don't care, which is so funny because you're around your friends and they could be around other people that had it and you can get it or just sick in general, cold.
Yeah.
But you're around people you don't know. So like, it's just like, oh, I need to be on my guard now, where like, you're less guarded about the situation when you're with your friends, so it's pretty funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you make of those differences?
What differences?
Of, like, people who now are scared, like you're saying, have to mask up or are afraid, compared to how they were before.
It's kind of hard to see that now, because, like, I really don't pay attention to a lot of people, you know? Like, I say hi to people. Of course, I mean, you know how I am. I'm friendly. I'm outgoing, and I'm gonna love people. But, you know, I just respect people. If they're scared, still, I respect their boundaries. You know, I respect how they feel and that. But if not, you best believe you might get a handshake or a hug from me. You know, so I can't really answer that question. It just depends on the person. Like, I don't see a lot of it, but I mean, I see here and there. You can just tell by people's body language. Or, how they confront you or get a, you know, pass by you, you know?
In what ways did Wells and life at Wells change over the course of the pandemic?
Man, it's just that fear, you know, with COVID, the fear of getting it. So I just feel like the interaction with people was very, very disturbing. When I say disturbing, it's just bad. Like, people were scared to talk to people. People were scared to be around people. And it's just like, Wells, you know, I think that's one thing that Wells is kind of known for is their friendly environment. Everybody knows each other. So when you take that away from Wells, it's just like, and in the world in general, but I'm just saying here at Wells, we're so small. Like, you know everybody, and, you know, everybody kind of interacts with everybody, gives hugs, high fives, stuff like that. So when when the aspect of Wells went away, you know, I just...
Very detached.
Yeah, very detached. Like, why am I here, basically?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you're here to interact, you're here to meet new people, have fun, have conversation, and when you can't have that, it's just like, I can be at home with my family, you know?
Like, what do you think of those changes? Of it being more friendly and open, and then now, like...
I mean, now it's better. Like, I'm not saying it's not like that, but I'm just saying, like, when it was, like, COVID happened, mm-hmm. we came back to campus the first time, that's how people were, you know, but I slowly seen the people changing back to, you know, normal way, quote unquote normal ways, where interacting, not very fearful of it, you know, ready to enjoy their life and be around others. You know, there's people are starting to slowly open up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more certain people have opened up completely, but you see it over time, people open up.
And as you know, Wells has many traditions. How would they impact it? Yeah. How would they impact it during the pandemic?
What?
The traditions of Wells.
You know, a lot of the traditions at Wells were like hands-on things, you know, meeting up with people. So, of course, that kind of changes
mm-hmm.
everything, because when you're scared to be around people to catch it, you're not going to go around them. You're not going to, it's not going to take place. So, I mean, that affected it a lot.
Yeah. What did you think of the changes?
I mean, it's funny. I mean, I think it was just people were fearful of it. It's just like we gave too much power to it. You know, gave too much. Yeah, that just gave too much power of fear to the fact that a sickness allowed us to be less human.
Yeah.
You know, not have interaction, not be friendly, be selfish.
Be closed off.
And closed off. And we're not meant to do that. You know, humans weren't built to be in a cave. You know, we're meant to socialize, interact, love each other, be mm-hmm. with each other, support each other. So.
And I said, now for like a comparison, did you notice differences in perception of the pandemic between the community here at Wells and your community back at home?
Yeah, there's a big difference. You know, I'm not from the South, but I was raised in the South, you know. The perception of COVID was, and you know, in Florida was like, if I get it, I get it. You know, and that's how I feel too. It's just like, and it's not because I'm from there, it's just my belief, like I said, my faith in God, like, if I'm going to get it, like, I'm going to get it. You can't stop that fact. Uh-huh. You know, but, like, if you, and as it says in the word, if you fear something, it will happen. You know, so as you fear COVID, you're so, like,
so thinking about it,
you're going to, like, eventually get it because you're just going to be, like, a little symptom. You know, you get, like, a little runny nose. You're like, oh, my gosh, I might have it. And, you know, that just makes you think so negatively. And it's just, like, you'll start to feel worse and worse because you're thinking of it. But if you go on with your day and live your life and just focused on living your life, you're not going to think of that. So, like I said, back in Florida and stuff like that, you know, everything was open. People were living their lives. Masks were not mandatory. You know, people did wear it. You know, if you didn't feel safe, wear it. You know, if you don't, you know, it's fine. But people didn't. I didn't. I don't like wearing it. And here at Wells, you know, when it first opened and, you know, still here now, we require a mask. People were scared of it. I think I'm one, you know, the president and them were just trying to do what was best to keep the school open. So, you know, they're going to be more safe towards everything because they want to keep the school open, which I understand. So I respect them. But it's just such a up north, really, like New York State in general, it's just like a fearful approach of, you know, perception of it, you know, scared. So they tell you to stay inside, lock in, not a lot of stuff open.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just think that hurts a lot of people's lives and makes them fearful.
So how did these two different, differences impact you?
I mean, how did it impact it?
Coming from Florida and being free and then coming here where it's like you're told to wear the mask.
You know, at first I was very, being honest, I was upset, you know, when I came from, you know, South, where everybody's just like, yo, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming up here and, like, you know, you're on lockdown. I was upset, you know, because I felt like a right was taken away from me. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a different state. And I got to respect that state's policies and rules and the school's rules. You know, I'm not in Florida. You know, you hear that saying, you're like, you're not home. Like, you know, you go visit someone's house and you try to like touch their cooking and stuff. They might pop you. This ain't your house. They say, this is not your pot, you know? So like, I'm not in Florida. So like, I have to respect, you know, the authorities here, regardless of how I feel. And I will, I have my opinion. I'm not fearful of this, but I have to respect them, you know, cause yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to be obedient. You know, you have to listen, and you know, you being obedient. And in this case, doesn't mean like you agree with them, but they are the authority, and I mean, I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as talking about authoritative figures, we're going to move on to the government responses.
Yeah.
So, as scientists learn more about the virus, government officials began to impose the mandates. What did you think when the mask mandate began?
I think it, like, kind of, like, was really bad for us in general due to the fact, like, you have a mask and you're breathing in the recycling air, which honestly would make you sick because, you know, we breathe in oxygen, we blow out carbon dioxide, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
You know, so we breathe in oxygen from the trees, which give us air, and we breathe out carbon dioxide, which I believe goes back into them or just goes out. And when we're re-breathing the same air, you're gonna feel sick, like, regardless. Like, you're gonna feel sick, you're not gonna like it, your breath's gonna be hot, you know. It's just it's terrible. It's not fun. No one likes them. Like, no one. I mean, you don't see anybody truly trying to wear them. I mean, you know, so I didn't agree with the mask mandate, but then they're authorities, and either you can follow the rules and just go with it, or wear the mask when you have to,
mm-hmm.
or you don't and you get in trouble, you get a fine, whatever. So I just, you know, just go along with it.
What were your thoughts when the vaccine came out?
I don't agree with it. I mean, the vaccine, they say, you know, at first, if you get the vaccine, you won't get it, it'll help you and stuff like that. But then, like, you get the vaccine, people still getting it, and they're like, oh, da, da. So, just like, what's the point of getting a vaccine if you're still receptive to it? Yeah. You know, so.
Same thing with the flu.
Yeah, same thing with, like,
Okay, what did you think of the vaccine mandates?
About getting it and stuff like that.
Yeah, when they try to impose, like,
man, that was terrible. Like, I didn't want to get it like a summer, but apparently, like, because the school's like, you need to get it if you want to be on campus. But then, like, so I did it, but I didn't want to, and I felt like, one, that's very wrong to force someone to do something they don't want. But, you know, apparently you didn't really have to. So I was kind of upset about that because I read the email. They're like, you need to get it if you want to attend school. So I was just like, you know, that's very wrong for, you know, them to force me to get a shot to come to the campus. So, I mean, but I did it. I got the shot. But eventually I did learn, like, I didn't have to get it.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, I was kind of mad at the school for sending that email saying that I had to do it to be on campus. So, yeah, I mean, I got the shot.
False advertisement. About things.
That was terrible. I really did. I did not like that. So they did. I remember they did that about the booster shot. But I was just like, look, I ain't getting that booster shot. I'm not doing it. Yeah.
What did you make of the controversy that emerged over the mandates, either the mask and or the vaccine?
You know, I don't really like. I'm not one to like. I don't like drama. And I'm not. When I say drama, just like. The authorities said it. I mean, if they're going to change it, they're going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can all be like, we'll change it. Or, like, we can code against it. We can. Like, come together and be like, we don't agree with this, you know. And hopefully they listen to us. But the dispute about it, like, if the authority says we need to do it, there are the governors or our governors for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to them. When I say just listen to them, like, they can't force us, but if they say wear a mask, just wear a mask in the areas they tell you to wear a mask. Like, you know, if there's a sign in the door that says mask required in here, just wear the mask in there, and then as soon as you get out, take them out, you know. Yeah, that's really it, you know. I don't think we should force anybody to do anything, you know, but yeah.
Around this time, the government provided stimulus checks during this time. What did you think of that decision?
Oh, stimulus checks?
Yeah.
You know, I think that was very nice of them and very rewarding towards the kids. I enjoyed my stimulus check, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I was thankful for that. You know, I think that was cool. But I from, you know, some other people I've heard that kind of like, I don't know, because I didn't do the research, but it could affect us in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how, a bad way, but yeah, I thought that was, the stimulus check was cool for, you know, people, how people used it wisely, you know.
The way it affects us is that some people now can't get taxes because they got the stimulus check.
There you go.
They're like, you got money then, you don't need it now.
Yeah.
In a way. How did the stimulus checks impact you and your family?
How did it affect? You know, it was just, you know, nice extra money in our pocket. You know, I wasn't able to get one because I'm a dependent on my mother still, so I didn't get one. But she gave me some of her money, and I think I bought basketball shoes with it.
So now political activism. Several political protests took place during this time. Many had to do with COVID, but others were associated with the Black Lives Matter and other social movements. Did you or others around you participate in these protests?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me about that experience of you not participating?
You know, say Black Lives Matters, and you know they do. You know, all and this is not saying like, you know, Black lives do matter. All, and I get the movement is just like how Black people have been oppressed and, you know, wronged for so long, and I totally agree with that. You know, but it's not just Black people that has been oppressed. You know, Asian people, people of color have been oppressed. Is that, am I saying the word right? Oppressed?
Oppressed, yeah.
Yeah, oppressed. You know, so, and I'm not saying, oh, white people are to blame for it. You know, there's been white, you know, white people that fought for it with Blacks, with colored people, for a better life for them. You know, so it's just, violence, I don't think is never the way to respond, you know, because when you respond with violence in certain cases, and I'm not saying all people in the Black Lives Matter were doing violence, but there were some occasions with big violent issues, like didn't they burn down like a Target or something?
Yeah, raided, you know, everything.
Raided, you know, they're raiding stores, and then like when you're trying to run a Black Lives Matters, and then you start doing, you know, that, and I'm not saying it was all Black people too that are doing it, you know, there's, you know, white people, colored people doing it, it's just like, when you're doing that, what does that prove? You know, like, you gotta, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, great leaders, they didn't do any violence. Did they? No. You know, they used their word. They did things with peace. Because when you retaliate with violence,
that's what you're seen as, violence. They don't, like, just get the message.
It doesn't fix anything. It just makes it worse. Yeah. Like, you're not truly getting freedom. You know, so I think with the Black Life, I think, you know, a great movement of saying that we're no longer going to be oppressed, that all lives do matter. There should be, you know, fairness, right? You know, as the Lord speaks, we should love thou neighbor as thyself. Does the world do that? No, it doesn't. I was going to say something, but I forgot. We all should love each other equally, treat each other. It should be fair, but it's not. And I'm not going to act like it's not. You know, color does play a fact in this. I was going to say this battle has been going on forever. It's not just now. It's been going on. And even though we make minor changes, it's just little changes throughout the years. It's still there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we got to come together and, you know, as the people and change, and you know that change starts with you as a person first, individually. You can't change a mass if you're not changed, if you're not doing good.
You know? And I agree with that, because I feel like, as you said, it's not just back then, it's now, and it's going to be in the future. It's going to continuously be prevalent, simply because it's always going to be someone who wants power,
always
wants to be better than someone else. Yeah. So that's going to forever happen.
It is, and that's the sad thing. Like, you know, we're all made for a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have an identity. And we're not meant to compare with each other. But that's the thing that keeps us in bondage, is that I want, like you just said, I want to be better than them. When you should just strive to be a better you. Mm-hmm. If you're a better you than you were a year ago, you're winning. You know, but people don't see that. They just, you know, that social media is such a great thing, but it's such a terrible thing, because it puts this false image that people are doing better than you when they're not. And I'm not saying I have a perfect life, and no one does, but I don't compare my life to others. The only person I compare my life to is Christ, because I want to be more like him. I want to love people, know how to love people truly. Not just, he loves us unconditionally, where he gave his life for us. You know, but not everybody believes that, and I, you know, you have the right to believe, but I believe in Christ, and he gave his life for us when he didn't have to. He died for us on the cross when he didn't have to, and that's love right there. When we were sinners, and we still are, you know, through Christ we're saved, but just that word, man, we just gotta change and love one another.
Got that reckless love. Like you said, love us for no reason.
Yeah, like
just
cause
he wants to.
Exactly. You know, in the world, it's just, I guess we're comparing and stuff, and just like, people will love you if they can get something from you. They're gonna love you because they're better than you, not just or what, like I said, what you can offer them. It's not because like they just love you for who you are, which is sad. And you know, that's the mission. Like, you need to change yourself and exalt that love so people get curious in what it is, you know. So that's what I aim myself to be, more like Christ, to love people for who they are, to see them as, you know, the loving person that, you know, Christ made them to be, you know, because we all have life, we all have a purpose, and you know, you're just supposed to love. But there's not a lot of love out there anymore. There's conditional love, that's what it is. It's conditional love, not unconditional love.
Yep, definitely agree. Even though you said you weren't involved, why do you think that, for those who were involved, like, why was it important to get involved?
Why was it?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great intentions. I believe people were just tired of oppression, mm-hmm. of Black lives, Asian lives, like, you know, all lives. All, you know, all lives. I think, you know, all the, you know, people were tired of being oppressed, and, you know, that's true. People are in bondage and, you know, oppressed, but, you know, there's a way to handle it, you know, and when you bring violence into it, that's never the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never is, because at the end of the day, that's just you trying to take power. Like you just said, like, power, like, I'm stronger than you. Like, you beating up someone doesn't prove that you're a stronger person than them.
Yeah.
You know, so violent, you know, people doing it, going into the black, like, great intentions, equality, fairness, that's great intentions. It's just, you know, I'm not saying Black Lives Matter was the reason for the violence and stuff. I'm not. But, you know, it's never, violence is never the answer.
Yeah. And that, like I said, that definitely confuses the message.
It does. So, you know, you want fairness, equality and stuff.
And peace, but then you act in a way, a manner that's completely opposite of what you're trying to advocate for. So, you know, I get it, yeah.
You know, actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. As Martin Luther King, the great leaders, you know, that were making great movements that were targeted, they were coming with peace, with their words, with actions of peace. They didn't do anything bad, you know, so, you know, you give, when you act in violence, you give them a reason not to give you power or give equality, because they're like, if we give them this, look what they did with that.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely. So
with your non-involvement, did the pandemic, like, factor into your decision as to why you didn't participate?
No, not at all. No. You know? I'm, as a believer of Christ, you know, I want fairness for everybody. It's the Lord hates dishonest scales, you know. So, and if you ask, it's not even about, yeah, I mean, it's not about me, but like, if you ask, I'm about fairness, I'm about what's doing what's right, what's righteous, what's fair, what's required. You know, you plant a seed, you're gonna harvest, you have a harvest, you know, you take care of it, you know, if you put in the work, you deserve it. You know, you're supposed to be fair. Like, if we do a homework assignment and you did majority of the homework, you should get majority of the credit. You not should, you are. I'm not going to lie to you, you know. You know, I'm about fairness, what's right, regardless, you know, so, yeah.
Were you engaged in these discussions / topic in any other ways outside of protesting? So even though you didn't protest, did you have discussions about it?
Yeah, of course, like with friends, families, and stuff like that, they asked me, and, you know, I'd give him my opinion on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's what I told you, it's like great intentions. At that time, I would just tell you, I would basically tell him the same thing, like, you know, great intentions. You know, I pray for this does happen. I pray that, you know, this goes in a positive way. But when things started to go crazy, I remember one time I saw a video, and I think it was about Black Lives Matter. And then I don't know if it was that or just a group of people were on a highway somewhere. I forgot, I think like California. And it's a, you know, people, I think holding signs. I think it was, I can't think it was Black Lives Matter. I just remember seeing this video of like people protesting on a highway. And people were driving by and stuff like that, and like throwing stuff at cars and stuff like that. And I'm just like, guys, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
like that's not how you handle things. Like, what? Like, that's sad. You know.
But
so
how come do you think it's coming from that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're destroying people's property that they worked hard for. You know, you're robbing stores, burning down buildings. So like, you can't say you want peace when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I'm just like, if they're not really, I just didn't like, what's your actions to be different from your words?
Definitely. So now, like, I'd like to ask you about your personal experience with COVID. These questions will focus on illness and probably bring up grief and other challenging topics.
Yeah.
Remember, we can skip any questions that make you feel uncomfortable.
For sure.
So the first question I want to ask you is, did illness impact you or your family?
No. Nope. We are all good.
Okay. How did this personal experience with COVID impact your outlook on the pandemic?
One, if you fear it, you're going to get it. If you just carry on with your life, you know, not focus on it. Like, if you, like, I barely get sick. And it's just the fact that I don't focus on that. You know, I focus on what I need to do. And if I start feeling bad, of course, I take care of myself. I'll drink a lot of water. I really don't take... I have allergy pills. I take allergy pills, you know. I'm going with my day. And if I get a cold, I'll take care of myself. I'll lay down, rest, and stuff like that. Or I'll actually, when I start feeling bad, I still go on with my day. And when I don't focus on it, like, I feel fine. But then I'll have, like, a day where I'm, like, not feeling the best. And that day, I'll stay in, and I'll lay down, rest up, drink a lot of water, you know, sleep. And then usually the next day I'll feel better, start going like lighter on my workouts, you know, build myself back up. I don't dwell on it. Like, I will not sit down and rest until like I'm like, all right, I need to chill. Like, I'm really not feeling good. Like, let me lay down. But I'm not gonna like play that sick card. Oh, I don't feel good. Like, I'm gonna go on with my day, do what I love to do, make the best of my day. And if I actually don't feel good, I'm gonna lay down.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on those experiences, what did you take away from them?
That God keeps his promises. God's cry. I'm just, God keeps his promises. And we're more than conquerors.
Okay. Now going back to normal.
Back to normal.
Now that vaccines are available and cases are decreasing, life is closely going back to how they were prior to the pandemic. How do you think that transition is going?
I think it's going pretty... I don't know how the transition is going. I'm just happy to see people really going outside and interacting. Like, I'm just happy about that. Like, I'm happy people are not staying inside, being alone. You know, I'm just happy that people are getting out there, interacting, making friends, playing sports, having a good time, you know, so yeah, I'm just happy about that. I'm just happy to see people getting to see each other and spend time with each other, and the fear of it's going away slowly, you know.
How do you feel about the transition back to normal?
I mean, what is normal? I mean, you know, that's the question. You know, like, we can, you know, going back, hold it, shaking. I think some people will never go back to quote unquote normal. I think they will always be scarred by this in a sense of like germaphobe, like, you know, like cautious about sickness and stuff like that. But I do pray that, you know, they don't let that hold them back for life, and that they give life their best, and, you know, love hard and spend time with friends and not focus on that stuff.
Yeah. You know? Definitely be a little precautious about it, simply because that you don't know. You don't want to get sick. If you know that people over there are sick, you don't want to purposely go over there. So I feel like being cautious about it is, to an extent, important. But like you said, like, not letting that fear control you in a way, but just being aware that it's a possibility that you can get sick.
I don't know. I think, like, it's just the attitude. Like, yeah, one, like, clearly you don't want to hang around someone that's been, like, I don't even know. I can't. Because it was Christ healed. He healed the sick. You know, I'm not saying we're Jesus Christ, but he gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gifted us to do things that he's done and more. You know, and great example of this, I remember my sophomore year, like, before COVID. Like, I had a flu. I had the flu, mm-hmm. something. It was something bad. Maybe it was COVID. I don't know. But Trib, one of my former teammates, let me put his name out there. But he came into my room when I was sick, and he sat in there. He played the game with me, and he was not scared of it at all. And he didn't get sick. And I was just like, you cool with that for real? He's like, yeah, bro. He's like, if you don't fear it, you just attack straight on. You won't get it. I was just like, wow. I was like, you're so right. And you know, he was a great example of that. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, don't fear it. Like, there's people that are sick. I'm like, what's up? How you doing? I'll give you a hug. Like, I don't, like, if I get it, like, I get it, but I'm not gonna fear it. Like, and people would say that stupid stuff, but like, I'm like, y'all don't know who my God is. And if you, like, I believe in a God that's bigger than all this. You know what I'm saying? You know, of course, take precaution if you want, but I like living life. I don't like being, I live life on the edge, I guess you would say. Like, I love someone. I don't have a girlfriend, but like, if my loved one, or, you know, when I have a wife one day, if she's sick, you best believe I'm gonna be around her. I'm gonna take care of her. I'm gonna bring her food. I'm still gonna give her kisses, you know, do what she needs to do. Help her, give her time. If she doesn't like that, if she doesn't want that attention while she's sick, then I understand that. But if she does, like, I'm still gonna, and since pamper her, I'm still gonna lay in the same bed as her. I'm not gonna, you know, distance myself because she's sick. Like, you know, that's how I feel. Like, God forbid, like we said, like, if that's her last day, like, how would you feel? I'm gonna give my mom a hug. If my mom's sick, I'm gonna be around her. I'm gonna give her a hug. I'm gonna love her. When my friends are sick, I don't care. I'm gonna go around them. I'm gonna hug them. I'm gonna love them, because at the end of the day, that could be their last day. You never know. True. And I'm not gonna let that cold separate my love for that person.
You know, I get it from both perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. That's my perspective, and I don't fear. But I can understand the cautions. Like I said, I understand both perspectives. I do not, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
You know. So,
how would you make decisions about masks and such when the mandates lift?
How would I?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to wear it, don't wear it. If you want to wear it, wear it.
Yeah.
That's just that. It's simple. Yeah.
So, pertaining to the future, what lessons or knowledge have you gained over the past 3 years of the pandemic that you would take with you into the future?
These past 3 years, that God is real, Jesus is real, and his word is real. That's really it. He keeps his promises. What he says is true.
Okay. We're closing the interview. So as we conclude, are there any topics or that you expected or hoped that we would cover but we didn't get the chance to?
No, it was pretty good.
Okay. Are there any topics in our conversation that you would like to revisit?
I really enjoyed the interview.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Yeah, I hope it was good.
Yes, we did a great job.